Happy Saturday. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Well, you know, where do you begin? I mean, there was so much stuff happening this week that it's almost impossible to put together an outline of a show and hit salient points. But here's what I did. The show has four kind of little segments in it today. The first one is on this poor gal that got shot by an illegal alien scumbag, five times deported, seven felonies, in San Francisco, that progressive bastion, by the progressive mayor, the progressive sheriff, and Obama's buddies. And then we have a segment, which is the one I'm going to lead off with, which kind of follows up on last week's show for July 4th. We'll get to that in a moment. I think you'll find it fascinating. Some history for you that I'm almost guarantee you didn't know about the founders, July 4th, the Declaration of Independence. And it's in response to some emails I got, which I will share with you. Outrageous. And then number three, we're going to talk just a little bit about Hillary because I can't stand talking about her. Corrupt, lying, progressive, criminal woman that she is. And then we're going to finish up with something that's very important to you. You'll notice a number of articles this week under family safety, some of them having to do with finance and that type of thing. Read them and click on those links. Read that stuff. I mean, you can sort it out. You're all bright people. Obviously, when somebody's trying to sell you something, there's always some hype, but there's also some nuggets. The situation with Greece and China and the Euro and the European Union, which are just canaries in the coal mine, folks, and we are the coal mine. So that's today's show. Let me start off with this fascinating tidbits of history. First of all, as a prelude, I got several emails after last week's show and one attempted posting to the website, which was so vitriolic, so racist, so nasty, that I think it might be the first post we have never put up on the On the Right Side Radio website. And it came from some wayward, progressive, racist, I don't know if they were black, they were white, they were red, they were yellow, I don't know. I have my suspicions. Talking about white privilege, talking about how all the founders were rich, white men who owned slaves, and therefore the work that they did on the Constitution was trash because it was meant to perpetuate slavery and a white man's boot on brown-skinned people. You know, Obama could have written the letter, actually, or Valerie Jarrett, or any of his ilk in the White House, Eric Holder, race baiters that they are. I sent back a short response saying, you know, you should read my books. In fact, we just won 2 days ago at the Independent Book Publishers Association, one of the most vaunted awards, the Benjamin Franklin Awards, our fifth award for multicultural fiction. And you know, you can't win an award for multicultural fiction unless you give fair play to all the various cultures. In my case, since I write American history, that played a role, key roles. Some of them tragic, some of them unbelievable, but all of them together creating the blanket that is our country. You can't win those awards unless there's like more than rich old white men in them. So I suggested to this nasty person, I can't even tell you if it's a gal or a guy, but I can tell you that whoever it is nasty. I suggest to them they read those books. Of course, they never will. But, you know, well, I'm not going to sully the airwaves by reading the email. It's that outrageous. But it got me thinking that people are either so depraved in this racial nonsense that's slung out by the race baiters like Sharpton, and Obama, and Holder, and Jarrett, and are then upheld by selective law enforcement, by people like the Baltimore mayor, the state attorney there in Baltimore, Mosley. Wow, what an insult to the legal profession. And the new attorney general who can't seem to, shall we say, enforce the laws of the United States, just like your predecessor, Mr. Holder. So I went back and did some research. Let me tell you a little bit about the founders that you didn't know. So there were 57 signers to the Declaration of Independence, folks, 1776. You can consider this little soliloquy as an extension of my July 4th show. But you need to know, because it is fascinating, and it will give you a whole different perspective on the sacrifices these men and women made to found a country, create freedom, or should we say encapsulate freedom that we already have from our Creator. Five of the signers, there were 56 men, by the way, who signed the Declaration of Independence. Five who signed it were captured by the British as traitors and tortured to death. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons serving in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardships of the Revolutionary War. These men, these rich old white privileged blah 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 men, when they signed that Declaration of Independence to each other and to their new country, they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. 24 of the 56 men were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers or plantation owners, men of means, well-educated. Every one of them signed that declaration, knowing full well that the penalty would be death or worse if they were captured. Every one of them knew that up front. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw all his ships swept from the sea by the British Navy. He sold his home and his property to pay his debts and died in rags. Rags. Thomas McCarran was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in the Constitutional Army and in Congress, refusing to take pay, and kept his family in hiding. The British took all his possessions from him, and he died broke and sick. Dillery, Hall, Clymer, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. Their properties were looted by the British. Several of them rebuilt, the others died broke and early. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that General Cornwallis had taken over Nelson's home for his headquarters. Despite that, he urged General George Washington to open fire on the headquarters, destroying all he owned. Nelson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed by the British. The enemy, the British, the Redcoats, jailed his wife, and she died in jail within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children all fled in opposite directions for their lives. His fields, his gristmill, were laid to waste. For a year, he lived in forests and caves, and he returned home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. He never saw any of them again. I could go on, but to have vitriol conjured racism . The black depths of progressive ideology cast aspersions on these men. And to call them nothing but white privileged honkies whose work means nothing and should be burned. I'll put it mildly. Greatly affronts me. And I'm sure it affronts you too. I don't know about you folks. I'm tired of this racial nonsense. I'm tired of this turn the blind eye. Which brings me to the next little segment in this show. So this poor gal, 32 years old, Kate, walking down the pier with her dad, on a holiday weekend that the family had come together, gets shot by this illegal alien scumbag. Because number one, at the federal level, Obama will not let ICE enforce deportations of criminal aliens. And at the local level, you have a bunch of progressive toads interested in pandering for votes, opposed to the Constitution and American values. So steeped in their ideology that they don't care. Oh, a white gal got shot by a Mexican. Too bad. Because we do all this good stuff with sanctuary cities, which, by the way, folks, all of us pay for. Did you know that? Our tax dollars go. San Francisco got $40 million from the federal government. That's you and me. This isn't some third party. The federal government got their money from you and me. And $40 million of it went to San Francisco. You know what for? To augment their expenses and their costs and their funding to handle illegal aliens. Well, aren't they doing a great job? By the way, Kate's story is not unique in San Francisco. There have been scores of other violent crimes, including murders, rapes, kidnappings. These people don't care. Obama doesn't care. Valerie Jarrett doesn't care. Lynch, the new attorney general, doesn't care. Eric Holder obviously didn't care. They don't care. The asylum is being run by the nuts. And shame on us for letting that happen. Shame on us. And do you remember all the uproar over Trayvon Martin and, you know, the other folks? I'm not even going to go through the list because it makes me sick. You know, FBI agents swarming out from Washington the day after. You know, months-long, tens of million-dollars investigations into whether or not they were hate crimes, which they weren't. The Justice Department, even Holder, had to let go of that. anywhere from 2 to 5 high-ranking officials from the administration attending the funerals and the rallies and all the BS. Al Sharpton scurrying back and forth from the White House to where he was agitating at these sites, creating even more damage. More hurt, more harm, more murders, more looting, more rioting, more lives ruined, more businesses destroyed. To divide America, to get votes, and to keep black people on the Democratic plantation. You see, they don't not only care about the working American, they don't not only care about the non-brown-skinned American, they don't care about the brown-skinned Americans, and they don't care about the brown-skinned illegal aliens, and they don't care about the black Americans. They don't care. They care about one thing. Their power, three things. Their power, their ideology, and their pockets. That's all they care about. They are traitors, every single one of them, and should be tried for treason. As a sidelight, the new Joint Chiefs of Staff, after that wimp Dempsey is now out of there, thank God, seems to have a backbone. He testified before Congress that Russia was the greatest threat. This is a couple days ago. The article will either be up this week or next week. He talked about, I think he used the words moderate success or moderate progress, I think was the words he used in describing what's happening with ISIS. Probably the only thing I disagree with him on. And you know, this guy sounds like he has a spine. Maybe he has a big enough spine to arrest people who need to be arrested. And to fulfill his and the oath of every military man and woman in the services, which is to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if you don't think the people that I've listed off and a whole bunch of others are enemies of the Constitution, then you are asleep under a big old rock, under a big old pine tree, in the middle of the night with no moon. Anyway, after sending all his entourages at the cost of tens of millions, hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars to these other unfortunate incidents, Obama not only didn't send one FBI agent, he didn't send one person to this poor woman's funeral. He refuses to talk about it. You remember him standing up there and pontificating about all this other nonsense? If I had a son, he'd be just like Trayvon Martin. Make me puke. And if you don't see the ideology, you don't see the racist streak in this man, you don't see the anti-American, anti-constitutional bent of his thought process, his speech, actually his lies, then I don't know. I just don't know. Which brings us to, and by the way, this isn't going to change, folks. And let me get down on Congress for a moment. Now all these congressmen, senators are running around wringing their hands. I said this wouldn't work. Oh, these sanctuary cities, blah, 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 blah. You know what? Hey, Congress, get some cojones. John Boehner, you're a disappointment. Mitch McConnell, worse than a disappointment. You give Barack Obama, a man like that, an administration like this, you give him the latitude to go out and negotiate that trade deal? Really? You somewhat cave on your authority and jurisdiction over the Iranian deal? Really? You approve a budget that includes Obamacare nonsense? Instead of till February of 2015 so the new Senate could take their seats, till October? And while there's many in Congress and the Senate, Cotton, you know, Gomer, the guy from Utah, Gowdy, who are standing up, I don't understand why it isn't at least 99.9% of the Republicans and at least 30 or 40% of the Democrats. I mean, I don't think all the Democrats, there are many Democrats in Congress who are as bad as Obama, if not worse. In all these respects I've been talking about, not only today, but in previous shows. But there has to be, please, there has to be 30% of the Democrats that believe in the Constitution, that believe in American ideals and values, that have the guts to stand up to the ideologue they have put in charge of their party and put America first. But there has to be. Please tell me that there is. And you put 99.9% of the Republicans together with 10, 20, 30, 40% of the Democrats, and you have a veto-proof majority. What is going on with these people? Other than the few. Wow. Which brings me to the next segment, which is Hillary Clinton. You know, I did a show on the difference between Hillary and Barack. Ideologically, policy-wise, there is no difference. They are exactly the same. Hillary Clinton will be a third term of Barack Obama. However, her motivations are different. Barack Obama is driven by a hatred, a deep-seated hatred. And I don't think there's another word to describe it. I think it's hatred of non-brown-skinned people. Whether they're here or in Europe or in Israel, doesn't matter. He is about reparations, retribution, and redistribution, which are what all his social programs are, which is what his blocking energy, I mean, it has many tangents. His whole environmental bent is really an attack on the Constitution, quite purposeful, has nothing to do with climate change. And his blocking of oil and natural gas exports are because he wants American dollars. We're the richest guys, you know. He wants American dollars flowing out to these other countries. That's redistribution on an international level. I've talked about this. So he's driven by ideology and hatred. I might add racist hatred. But Hillary is driven by greed. Hillary loves money. Hillary loves power. Hillary is all about Hillary. And to the extent she's about Bill, it's because Bill helps Hillary. She is transparent in how dark and devious and corrupt she is. Did any of you see the interview that CNN did with Hillary? First of all, the interviewer was a former staff member of the Clinton campaign. I don't know if you know that or not, but she was. And I thought the interviewer did a reasonable job, given all considerations. She asked some tough questions. My biggest problem with her interview is that she didn't follow up when Hillary lied. And it was obvious that the interview, if you listen to the interview, you know the interviewer knows she's lying. And she kind of probes gently when Hillary comes out with some of her preposterous statements. But then she lets it go and moves to the next question. But it wasn't, you know, what color bubble bath do you like? I mean, there were some good questions. So I'll give that interviewer a B, maybe a B minus. And Hillary sat there and she flat lied. I mean, in this respect, she's also identical to Obama. Looks in the camera, looks all earnest, talks in an earnest voice, and every word she utters is absolutely contrary to the truth. It's contrary to videotaped interviews of her previously. It's contrary to what she has said in black and white, recorded, on audio, on film, previously. And the whopper of all was, oh, well, there were two whoppers, actually. Actually, there were a dozen whoppers. Let me just pick two. Number one, there was no rule or regulation where I had to turn over my emails. What? It's a federal law. The gentleman who runs the National Archives, who keeps all that stuff, all the government stuff that comes in and between government employees, i.e. our employees, folks. They work for us. We're the boss. They're the employee. They've just forgotten it. And we've been remiss in reminding them. In the meantime, black and white, she told her staff about the rules and regulations in 2011. Black and white, even the Obama administration, although they didn't follow their own edict, told her about it when she became Secretary of State. Black and white, David Axelrod sent a letter to the State Department saying, I need Hillary's private address, so they knew she had a private email address. Black and white. Once again, in this interview, she says she had one device. I mean, there's pictures of her with three different devices. She said she had one email. It's now been proven she had at least five private emails, and her staff was also conducting government business on their private emails. Then she goes in the interview. I mean, you know, I was sitting there shaking my head saying, am I really hearing this? Then she goes in the interview that she didn't do anything that former Secretary of State didn't do, such as Colin Powell. Really? Colin Powell had five private email addresses, and his staff were using private email addresses, and he had a foundation that raised $2 billion, much of it from foreign governments, while policy considerations concerning arms, money, all sorts of things were at the State Department. Colin Powell had his own server. Colin Powell didn't turn in his emails when he left. He did. Every single one of them. He said, here's my computer. Do it. I mean, just outrageous lies. But the whopper was, well, at the time I deleted my 33,000 emails, which were all private, like for wedding cakes and stuff. And I determined that, of course. Me or my attorneys. At the time I did that, I was under no obligation to turn anything into the State Department. That happens to be a violation of federal law, folks. You are bound to turn in everything to do with government business that you have not previously turned in at the time you leave the job. Period. Just as all her predecessors have always done. Never mind having your own server and then wiping it clean and deleting 33,000 emails from your inbox and outbox. So, this was the whopper. This was the whopper. And I was never under a subpoena, which would have obligated me to preserve. You know, there's two things in that statement. Number one, she's a lawyer. She knows that if you're under subpoena, you can't destroy anything. And the subpoena, if anybody's ever seen one, is continuing. In other words, give us everything you have now, and if anything comes in that is covered under the subpoena in the future, you got to turn that over too. That's the law, which flows from the Constitution, by the way. And she sat there and said she was never under subpoena, and the next day, 2 days later, actually. I think it was Friday. Kirk Gowdy came out with copies of the subpoena she was served with and was pending at the time she deleted her emails and wiped her server. And emails from her attorney acknowledging service of the subpoena, etc. during that time also. Now, you know, I put that right up there with, you can keep your doctor. In fact, it might be worse. And this woman is very likely to get the nomination to run for the President of the United States, and what's more scary, over 40% of the population is going to vote for her. Makes me shudder. I'll tell you what else makes me shudder, and this is our last segment of the show. Although the government is trying to tamp it down, the media is trying very hard, other than mentions, to not review it. You have all heard something about Greece. You may have heard something about China. You may have heard something about the European Union. You haven't heard anything about Argentina, which is in the same boat that it seems to get in every 30 years. And almost no one, except for me and a few other folks, are talking about the credit bubble of $60 trillion just in the United States, and how that relates to the debt, primary debt, $18 trillion going to $20, and overall debt, pensions, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, somewhere between $110 and $210 trillion. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You can't pay back either. So I've been sounding the alarm about Greece for over 3 years now. Go back into the archives, look for my show, Greece is California. I think it's 3 years ago. I have also mentioned from time to time that China's economy is not as robust as everybody says. And what we're seeing right now in China, which is the largest economy in the world, sorry, it's not America anymore, thank you, Barack, we're now number two, the largest economy in the world, is a meltdown. What they have over there is a absolute crater in real estate. Remember the one we went through in 2008, 2009? Take that and multiply it by 10. I mean, we're not talking about a couple million units like here. We're talking about tens of millions of housing units that were built on quick and easy credit and are now vacant. And the vacancies are getting worse as people, the Chinese, who invested very heavily in the stock market over there, the Shanghai, it's called. Understand this. Most of the stock transactions in the United States, the NYSE, NASDAQ, etc., are by trading groups, hedge funds, companies, professional investors. A relatively small percentage is by individuals. China is just the opposite. 80% of the trades over there are by the Chinese people. Ma and Pa investing their 3,000 yuan or whatever they're investing, and this is their little nest egg. This is their store of wealth. And the little house they bought or little apartment that they bought is their other store of wealth, as is their automobile. I mean, not too dissimilar from us, but even more so. So in the Chinese economy right now, you have a stock market which has sunk 36%. 36%. in the last 3 or 4 months and is like plummeting like a stone. You have a real estate market which is absolutely, you know, you could have thrown a nuclear bomb grenade in it. That's what it's like. So you have all these poor, hardworking Chinese over there, many of whom, just like us, want nothing but to provide for their families, have a good life, be happy, build wealth, pass on a better life to their kids. You have all these poor people who have a double whammy. Their savings have been shattered in the Shanghai. Their store of wealth in their little house or apartment, you know, their real estate is much different than ours in terms of its context, is worth nothing. You know, you can't give the stuff away. And this is 500 million consumers, folks. 500 million. We have 200 plus or minus million in the United States. About that many, maybe 250 million in Europe. This is going to have far-reaching consequences worldwide that are not being talked about. At the same time, you have Greece, a absolutely perfect example of progressive socialist priorities and policies gone haywire. This Greece is the result, folks, of the policies that Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and their ilk are trying, well, not trying, I mean, they have a foothold, to put in place in the United States. Do you realize that when the Greeks, it was put up for a vote, hopefully most of you have been following it close enough to know this. So Greece owed a bunch of money to the International Monetary Fund and the European Union that they had borrowed to pay their borrowings with, right? Sound familiar? Borrow to pay your debt. Gee, who else is doing? Oh, yeah, that's right. The United States is doing that. And they defaulted. By the way, the first sovereign, it's called their sovereign nation, the first sovereign debt default in the Western world ever. They defaulted. And the socialist, you could call him a communist actually, definitely a progressive, premier that was elected over there put it to a vote of the people. And a vote of the people was to not, by 61%, folks, a huge majority, was not to agree to the measures that the European Union, led by Germany, was trying to force on them for austerity. In other words, you know, guys, your pensions are out of control. Your 28-hour work week needs to be upped a little bit. People need to be a little bit more productive. You need to raise your taxes, which, by the way, are already exorbitantly high. And the people said no. And why did they say no? Because when you have built an entitlement mentality, folks, like Obama and Clinton and the rest of them are trying to build here, people feel entitled. It's give me, give me, give me. There's no sense of responsibility. They have no skin in the game. And if you want to see what these folks that we have unbelievably put in power, even though they're really a tiny percentage of the American population, if you want to see where they want to steer this country, and what the end result is, you just look at Greece. And Greece is a tiny economy. I mean, it's 2% of the European Union. It's a fraction of almost every state in the United States. So this is not like China, which is huge and worrisome. Or Japan, which is having its own set of huge problems and has for 10 or 15 years. There's a huge debt problem in Japan. I mean, we're talking about 300% debt to GDP. This is big stuff. And this is the canary in the economic coal mine. And if people don't understand that what is happening in China, and what is happening in Japan, and what has happened in Greece, can and will happen here, because we are on the same road. In fact, we're worse off than some of those countries, believe it or not, on a statistical basis. The only thing that saves us is the dollar is reserve currency. And this week, there's two big meetings. I've talked about in previous shows. Russia is gearing up this new World Bank, which is non-dollar denominated. And the BRICS country, I've talked about them, Russia, China, India, South Africa, are having another summit once again to replace the dollar as a reserve currency. So, if you think that what's happening over there can't happen over here, you're just flat wrong. I'm not saying it's going to happen, because I'm hopeful that we will, that men of courage will stand up and either run for office, or men of courage who are in office will get this under control. You know, I'm the never-ending, eternal American optimist. I believe in our exceptionalism. But it's possible that we're going to have to go through the fire before we are reforged. And you need to be prepared. And I'm not just talking about drinking water and food and heat. Hopefully you've been reading these articles, you've listened to my shows, you've taken the precautions. You have a safe place you can get to. And trust me, the suburbs and the cities are about the last place you want to be. Just look at Baltimore. Look at Ferguson. Multiply that by 1,000x. The have-nots will want what the haves have, because the have-nots feel entitled. And our quote-unquote leaders feed that every chance they get. Not only do they feed the entitlement mentality, but they feed the righteousness of it. Because of white privilege, or wealth privilege, or gender privilege, or religious privilege. Not only are you entitled to everybody else's money and possessions, but they owe it to you because they were such bad people in the past. Take precautions, folks. Take precautions. You have nothing to lose and potentially everything to gain. The world is in a very dangerous place, politically, geopolitically, militarily. This new Joint Chiefs of Staff is exactly right. Russia is by far our biggest threat. Russia is not flying bombers. They did it twice again this week. Tupolev bombers, armed, by the way, with nuclear devices, 50 miles off our coasts every day or every other day for nothing. Just so we burn some fuel in our Phantom jets to intercept them? I don't think so. They're testing. They're probing. This giant hack that occurred Wednesday, Thursday, United Airlines, Wall Street Journal, the New York Stock Exchange, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, all simultaneous. We had four monstrous simultaneous glitches. That's what they're trying to tell us. Really? Wow. I mean, this coincidence upon coincidence upon coincidence at the exact same time is just, it's totally believable, don't you think? There was no external force involved. No. Now, just, you know, a faulty wire. Our defenses, cyber, military, and others are being probed. Enemies do not probe your defenses unless it's part of a larger plan. Anyway, this is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. I hope you enjoyed those little tidbits of history about those men of courage who pledged their life, their property, and their sacred honor for us, many of whom never lost their honor, but lost their lives and their property. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great week, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday.